Good morning and welcome into Peach Talk. This is our town. I'm Chris Johnson, your host, and in the studio with me this morning is a Clanton native that grew up here in Clanton and been away for a little while, but not too far up the road. And he's an important part of WKLF, or his family has been a very important part of WKLF, Mr. Lynn Eastland. Lynn, good morning.
Good morning, Chris, and thank you for having me on the air. I haven't lived in Clanton for about 55 years, but I'm not too far away up in Helena.
You're close enough you remember where it's at.
Oh, man. Every time I come down to Clanton, Chris, it's just like going back in time. I love it. It's still my hometown, and it just brings back memories that are very precious to me.
And you grew up right down the street from where I grew up, and you and your brother, Ray Mayo, and for those of you that don't know who Lynn Eastland is, you're probably more familiar with his dad than anything. And it's like me, like most folks know my dad from my dad, and Lynn same way. Marion W. Eastland was here at WKLF from the day one it signed on up until he couldn't be here anymore, with America's Favorites, and we still run that program every day here on WKLF. And he was the instigator of that back in 1947, right around Thanksgiving of 47. He was him and Reverend Hyman Hutchinson were the first two folks to purchase airtime on WKLF. And your dad wrote many, many gospel songs.
Yeah, and I really am appreciative that WKLF still carries America's Favorite programs. I mean, at one time it was considered the longest running daily gospel music in the country, a program in the country, and now it's even, gosh, I don't know how many years we've got going now, but yeah. I do appreciate Ms. Margot and the station carrying on the tradition of, at that time of the day, America's Favorites.
It's our honor. That program's been on 7 days a week and still is here since the beginning, so we understand it was in the Guinness Book of Records with your dad as the longest running daily gospel radio program. And so I don't know if that was with one host or if it continued that way, but we've continued it. So it should still be the longest running. For sure, it's the longest running one on WKLF.
Yeah, like I say, I'm very appreciative. And speaking about coming back to Clanton, this is the second Wednesday in a row that I've been back here. Not only was I born and raised here, but my final resting place will be here. And last week, a week ago today, I went over to Martin Funeral Home and talked with Bobby and the people there and got those final arrangements made, because you never know when that's going to come around. And but I did tell Bobby, I said, now, this is not a rush order. And I also said, Bobby, if rapture happens before I die, don't worry about my refund. Don't worry about that. And Bobby Lamb said, your refund, so I plan to be part of that too.
Bring it with you. Just bring it with you. Well, Lynn, I appreciate you taking time to talk with us today and coming down and help us reminisce a little bit about Clanton. You and I spent a good bit of time on the phone a few days ago just talking about different things in Clanton, about your dad and his music. Of course, we've talked a long time about the music of the late Marion W. Eastland. He's got a lot of music. You brought us some goodies down to share. We've got a little cubby hole between the lobby and the studio B, or studio C in the front studio there, that we've kind of got a little dedication to your dad, and we'll proudly display those plaques and things you brought. One of them being a Golden Mic Award from the Singing News, and got WKLF on it and in your dad's name, and we will display that proudly.
Well, I'm glad you will, and that might mention that there's also a display up in Tuscumbia at the Alabama Music Hall of Fame. So if you ever up around Florence, stop by there, because Dad's display is right there. And not just his display, but Alabama's had so many. You just don't realize it until you go to a place like that up in Tuscumbia and see all the history, the music of this country that has a tie, connection, or origin in the state of Alabama.
And there is a lot of it because, of course, you know, the Tri-City area up there, Muscle Shoals, Tuscumbia, and Florence, your famous Fame studio there, and the Jackson Highway studio that did a lot of stuff in the rock and roll era. And they recorded a lot of things besides rock and roll. In fact, Fame's still a working studio.
Yeah.
Jackson Highway's not, but Fame's still a working studio. And a lot of artists came from all over the world to be able to record with what was known as the Muscle Shoals sound. And then gospel music has made, we've got a lot of gospel music artists from Alabama, country music artists, pop artists, you name it. Alabama's had our share of musically talented folks that have made a big impact in music. And like you say, that Hall of Fame there in Tuscumbia has got a lot in it. And, of course, if you go on into Nashville, the Country Music Hall of Fame, we've got a few Alabama folks in there as well. Going way on back to your dad's time and gospel music written by Hank Williams, Alabama boy. And
I'm glad you mentioned Hank Williams. There's a connection here that I want to tell you about. Hank and my dad had a program on the same radio station in Montgomery.
WSFA.
WSFA. And they knew each other. And it was quite different, their style. But, you know, Hank was such a great writer. And he wrote not only I Saw the Light, but he wrote another beautiful gospel song or two. And it's just a shame that his lifestyle took his life at the age of 29. And I'm maybe one of the only people around here that can say they were at Hank Williams' funeral.
Yeah.
Which I was. What happened was we had relatives in Montgomery, and I was down there visiting with my dad and mother, my uncle and aunt. And myself and my uncle, we went over to downtown Montgomery. And the funeral was at the City Auditorium in Montgomery. And it was estimated better than 20,000 people, so we couldn't really get in it. But they had the big loudspeakers, so we could hear everything that was happening inside for the funeral. And Roy Acuff sang I Saw the Light, and Bill Monroe was there, and a lot of the greats, music icons were there. And so I can say I was at Hank Williams' funeral.
Yeah. We have a family friend that was, my mom and dad was friends with his mom and dad, Don Hams was a steel guitar player. He played on all 10 of Hank number one, and of course he spent a lot of time with Ray Price after that. And we did a radio station I have down in South Alabama. We always, on Hank Williams' birthday, do a program honoring Hank. And the first time I did that, I realized that we were going to do that special program and preempt our Southern Gospel program. And I said, we're going to make some folks mad doing that. And I said, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. So we're going to play some Hank Williams' gospel music because I knew he had some. We'll start out and do his gospel songs as long as they hold out. And then we'll start the country. And I figured I was going to run out before we got through the gospel time. We hadn't even made a scratch in the gospel songs that Hank had recorded, let alone written. And I did have opportunity while we were doing that to interview, I think it was Lum York was one of his original Drifting Cowboys. And this story conflicts with what's on the PBS special, but I heard it from Lum, and he was in the car, so I'm going to take his word for it.
Yeah.
That they were coming back from a gig down in South Alabama, coming up old Highway 31. Of course, there wasn't all the outdoor lights and everything back then. It was pitch dark down those old roads then. And as they were coming up the road, to the rest of them in the car, said, boys, it won't be long now I see the light. Talking about the airport beacon light at Danley Field. You can see those beacon lights for forever. And said, one just a few minutes, Hank started singing in the back seat, I Saw the Light. So that was the inspiration for I Saw the Light. So,
wow.
But the PBS special says his mom was with him, and she told that story. But according to what they told me, she wasn't with him, and Lum was driving the car. So I'm gonna take his story. I've got that on tape somewhere. I got to dig that up. But yeah, a lot of music connections in Alabama.
I saw the movie. I Saw the Light. It was on TV a few nights ago.
Yeah,
I didn't like it too much. Just like you had a conflict there with the truth. You remember the song Kalijah?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, now there may be a Clinton connection to that song that I want to ask you about.
I interviewed one of the guys that talked about when they wrote that song. Again, he was in the back seat of the car, and they had went to the store, supposedly, and he'd come back and said he started beating out that rhythm on the back of the seat.
Well, you know, there was a statue there, of an Indian, but let me tell you about that, and I can't have any proof of this. It's just what I heard when I was growing up. At one time, there was a Pontiac dealership, South Clinton, Dent Williams Pontiac.
Mm-hmm.
And there was back then, the car dealerships that handled Pontiac had a statue of Chief Pontiac.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was the statue that was carried over
to Kalijah
and put there at Wind Creek.
Yeah.
Kalijah, and Hank was over there, I think, to dry out one weekend and wrote that song looking at that statue. But the story I heard growing up was that statue came from Clinton, from Dent Williams Pontiac.
Probably a good possibility there. Well, we were talking the other day, not only was your dad well-known around Clinton, but your mom was a sweet lady and well known as well. And we were talking, most folks remember Miss Agnes from Chicago Sales in downtown Clinton. She worked there many years,
and she really did have lots of folks that would come in there. They would want her to wait on them, and if they had to wait while she was with another customer, so what, they would wait until she was free to wait on them. And let me give you this. I think you'll appreciate this and get a chuckle out of it. You know, Dad was a weatherman.
Uh-huh. That was one of his passionate hobbies.
Well, and what people don't realize is he was furnished instruments.
From the National Weather Service.
From the government.
I remember riding my bicycle around the block. I grew up two blocks away from him.
Yeah.
And he was in my range that they would let me go. I could go down the creek and up that street around his house. And I remember the little white boxes sitting out back of his house with the shuttered sides on it, where he had his thermometer and barometer and all that stuff. And I remember seeing him. You see him out there sometimes. If he's out early enough in the morning, you'd see him there, or in the evening. I think he took readings from it two or three times a day and recorded all that. And as far as I know, sent it to National Weather Service, didn't he?
Yeah, he had these little data books the government furnished him, and he had to keep those things up to date. I don't remember whether it was weekly or monthly or what the time frame was, but he had to send those in, and it was official. Government's weather records right there.
And did that for years and years.
And you know how you hear a lot of times there's 50% chance of precipitation tomorrow? Well, I remember him coming home one day, and Mother jumped him. She said, "Mayor, what good does it do to tell people it might rain, it might not rain?" I'll never forget that.
I can see your mama asking that too.
Exactly.
Oh, a lot of folks remember Chicago Sales and Ray Enfinger and
Buddy Taylor
and Mr. Reedy,
Orville Littlejohn.
A lot of shoes sold from all them folks. So I bet your mama probably sold many a pair of ladies' shoes and many dresses to ladies in town.
And the only, I guess, closest relative I have living here in Clinton now is my first cousin, Ruby Miner. And she worked there in Chicago Sales for Asia. Real sweet lady. I still call her Ruby Jean, but that was the way we grew up. She was Ruby Jean, so I still call her Ruby Jean, and I definitely want to come down and see her once in a while, and we talk on the phone. So, but other than that, I don't think I have any close relatives living here anymore.
Well, I'm a distant relative of you, so.
Yeah, my grandmother was Johnson.
Yeah, we again, the Johnsons, Eastlands, Mims, and Minders. I'm somewhere back down, back up the tree. There's a branch that lands there. You know, we were talking about downtown Clanton and Reedy Taylor and hit the Chicago sales, and then right down the street going towards the courthouse. And not exactly sure if it was right next door, if there was a building in between, but there was a one called the Bargain Store that was a ladies' dress shop.
I worked there a while.
you'd see your mom down there some, because anybody that worked for the Chicago sales also worked there, and they'd swap back and forth. And my Aunt Mary and Johnson was... work there, so I remember her and your mom, and we were talking about the other things on that street. You had Sutley's Jewelry Store was there, and Wright Drug Store, and VJ Elmore's, and on the corner was Deloach Grocery, the other corner was Upchurch Drugs, and we were talking about even across the street there was a. You mentioned Reedy Taylor had a shoe store over there, and I think that's the building that's next to the driveway alley of the bank now, which was Miller's Fine Five and Dime at one time. Jeff Miller.
Yep.
Was in there a while, and then
now the other end of that street, there was a drug store.
Callen Allred's drugstore.
And I don't know if it was Callen Allred's, but Daddy told me that he remembered, I think when he was real young, being in that drugstore, and two men came in there out from Atlanta and presented them with an offer to buy some stock in a soft drink company that was starting up over in Atlanta.
Starting out of Atlanta. I guess I know what that was.
Oh, yeah. And unfortunately, they all said, I guess not, reckon not. So they left. They could have had original stock in Coca-Cola. Lordy, lordy.
They had Callen Allred's drugstore, and then there was a hardware store on the corner. Back up the street, there was another drugstore. Farley's drugstore was back up there, and Clean Right Cleaners, and trying to remember what all was up in that area. A&P up on the corner across the First Baptist Church.
You reckon any of your listeners know what you're talking? What's he talking about? But yeah, it's not.
I'm old as dirt, and I can prove it.
Hey, and I'm older than you are, so hush.
Clanton's got a rich history,
and
that's one thing we want to do in this program is spark up some memories of some of the older things in Clanton, as well as brag about some of the new things. Clanton's one of the world's best kept secrets, I think.
Well, you know, you can grow almost anything in Children County. And let me tell you this little story. When I was growing up with Ruby's dad, Uncle Preston, we'd go peddle peaches. I'd go with him. We'd go down to Opelika and park the truck there, and people would come up, and the first question they would ask, now, are these Georgia peaches or are these Chilton County peaches? And, of course, Uncle Preston would say, Chilton County. Oh, okay, then. I want to take a look at them. If they were Georgia peaches, they don't want anything to do with them. And if there was a truck there, a peach truck, come out of Georgia selling peaches, as soon as they saw us pull up a couple of blocks or so away, you could see them crank that truck and hightail it out of there. That was different as Chilton County peaches and Georgia peaches.
Chilton County peaches are known all over in a basket. There's no telling how many of them. Special deals and political favors and everything else have been done over a basket of Chilton County peaches. I remember way back, you probably remember Mr. Burton Mullins. That's the name I hadn't heard in a long time. Burton was our civil defense director back when it was civil defense, way before emergency management was the term. And of course, I've been in the rescue squad a long time, and my dad was in it before I was, and Mr. Burt was part of the rescue squad, and we used to go to the federal state surplus place to get the equipment and stuff. And it used to be up at, first I remember it was up at Glencoe, up out from Anniston. And Mr. Burt would always take a couple of baskets of peaches up there and give the fellas at the state surplus place peaches during peach season. And I tell them, we're looking for this and this and this. And if it ever showed up in that surplus place, Bert would get a call before it even went out on the floor. We'd have first shot at it because of them peaches.
Well, speaking of things that Chilton County or Clanton's famous for, I sure wish I had been down here, if I'd known about it, for the Clay Carroll dedication. Yep. That was long overdue.
Yeah, Clanton's had our share of baseball stars. We had Jackie Hayes and then yeah. Clay Carroll. And just like you said, just recently, the city honored Clay with naming the street there, part of Fifth Avenue North that drops off the hill into the park is Clay Carroll Parkway.
Let me share this little story with you. Clay Carroll, and I wasn't on the baseball team. I tried to play a little basketball, and I wasn't too successful as that. I got B team. But Coach Bulger told me one time, said, Lynn, nothing wrong with your running. You just do it too long in the same place. But one of the team members told me this happened. Said they were playing down at Montgomery against Lanier, Sidney Lanier. And so they were getting off the bus, and they got these cat calls. Peach farmers, come on in here. Said, y'all can't play ball. All y'all can do is pick peaches. And they weren't expecting much. They didn't know there was a player named Clay Carroll on that team. And sure enough, the game wound up 1-0. And Clay didn't allow a run. And guess who hit the home run that made the one run win for the Chilton County Tigers? Clay Carroll.
Yeah. Clay was a sure enough ball player, and I shared with you at lunch, I think, when I interviewed Clay. I had the honor to interview him as they were dedicating the street to him up there. And, of course, I remember going up. We used to take our Little League team travel to Atlanta to watch him play when he was with the Braves. But Clay made the statement, and this is a true Clantonian statement. Clay made the statement then. And I fully believe he was 100% truthful when he made this statement. He said, I have rubbed elbows with all kinds of sports stars and famous people. I have participated in the World Series, but having that street named after him in Clanton, Alabama, he said, is the biggest honor of his life. And so
he deserved it, for
and,
sure.
And well deserved, because yeah. he's made Clanton proud. He's always, he's always told folks, although he's been all over the place, he's told folks, you know, I'm from Clanton, Alabama, and a lot of famous people from Clanton, Alabama, and your dad, one of them, known all over this world for his gospel music, and his song's been sung by just about every gospel artist that's ever been a big time gospel artist.
Could I tell you a little bit about some of those songs?
Go ahead.
His first hit was "Lord Lead Me On." And that was done by a group called the Chuck Wagon Gang, a family group out of Texas. And they still, pardon me, I got a problem. Anyhow, they're still going strong, but it's not the original yeah. group. And there's only one member of them now that was a relative to the original family. And I talked to her a few years back. And mentioned "Lord Lead Me On," and she said that was my grandmother's favorite song of all the songs that they recorded, and they were world famous. Daddy always referred to them as
world famous. Chuck Wagon Gang. I can still hear that echoing in these walls of this very room right here.
Well, you know, this group also recorded a song called "Angels Rock Me to Sleep," and just a few days ago, I was surfing the web, you know how you do, and you come across some strange things. And what I saw shocked me, because in 1972, there was a movie, and the name of that movie is Tomorrow, and Robert Duvall, very famous actor, had a lead role. And Daddy's song, "Angels Rock Me Sleep," was used in that movie. And I didn't even know that. I've never heard that until a few days ago. But sure enough, I pulled it up, and there it was on the credits, Mayor and W. Easterling.
Yeah.
And speaking of movies, you know, Hollywood, there was a movie production company in Hollywood that offered Daddy a job out there. And at that time, Deep South Magazine called Daddy one of the top four gospel music writers in the country. And they offered him $25,000 a year to sign a contract and come out there and edit gospel music for their movies. Well, he thought about it, and Mother was excited. I think Mother kind of wanted to try it out. But Daddy decided he wasn't California material, so yeah. he didn't take up the offer. And you know, the song When I Wake Up to Sleep No More, the Inspirations made that a hit. It was an old song, but they came out with it. Yeah, I can say in 1974, it was the number one song in the country, in the gospel music field, for 8 months.
Well, that's a long stretch.
But it was on the charts for a year and a half. And everybody in...
From Clanton, Alabama.
Well, everybody, every gospel group just about, you can go on YouTube and they'll be... You can find them singing When I Wake Up.
One of your dad's songs. And that one probably, no telling how many gospel groups were recorded When I Wake Up to Sleep No More.
That's right. That's what I mean. Johnny Cash recorded When He Reached Down His Hand for Me in an album called My Mama's Hymn Book. And that may have been the very last album before he passed away. I don't know for sure. But it was real close if it wasn't, because you can even tell listening to it that he was on up in age, and wasn't long after that he passed away. But that reminds me of a song that I have, a sheet music hanging in my room at home. It was called The Man Behind Bars, and I don't think it was ever published. He did copyright it. But the chorus said something about... The man behind bars in a dark prison cell is some mother's boy who wandered and fell. At night he can't see the moon and the stars. God bless that poor man behind the steel bars. Now, who would that sound just like to be singing that song?
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
Daddy wouldn't hear of it. My brother and I, Ray and I, tried our best. Daddy, let us try to get it to Johnny Cash. Nope. At that time, though, Johnny Cash's lifestyle, now later on he became a good confessing Christian, but at that time his lifestyle didn't adhere to what Daddy would have accepted, and Daddy wouldn't let us do it.
Yeah.
So I may have the only copy of it there hanging on the wall, but he wouldn't let us take it to him.
Somebody out there probably still love to record that today. And speaking of recording today, you know, your dad's songs are still being recorded by artists. Even in 2023, those old songs are just timeless. And, you know, what he put pen to and notes to. I had the opportunity to hear your daddy sing and play one time. I remember probably a Mother's Day, all day singing or whatever, at Walnut Creek Church, where I kind of grew up some. And I remember him playing the piano. Only time I've ever heard him play the piano. And I mean, he wore that piano out.
He could play the piano.
He played that piano.
Well, we'd go to singings almost every Sunday, all day singing with dinner on the ground, and he would be called on to play the piano and all the churches around Chilton County here where we went. So he played it a lot.
Yeah, he's real good at it. All right, well, we're just about used up our time, Lynn.
Oh.
And we were wondering if we were going to have enough to talk about. We may have to do this again to pick up where we left off, but it's been a privilege having you in the studio with us, and you're definitely a part of the WKLF family, because your dad was such a big part of it. And so you're offspring of that. So we appreciate you so very much and spend a little time with us, and for the memorabilia you brought us to put up on the wall out here. And you come back and be with us again.
Before we go, let's give a shout out to one friend, mutual friend of ours that lives all the way up in Missouri.
Oh, yeah. Cape Girardeau, Missouri.
Cape Girardeau.
You're talking about none other than Mr. Bruce Mims.
Yeah. Bruce and I keep in touch. It's too long a story right now, but sometimes I'll have to tell you the story how we met.
Bruce shared it with me. He was riding me around in Cape. I was up there. We've done several mission trips to Cape, and we had lunch, and he shared how he ran across you at the college there where he taught at some kind of event going on. But anyway, Lynn, we appreciate you so much being with us and joining us, and hope we sparked a few memories for some folks around the community as we've talked about Clanton and some of the ties to Clanton. And that's what this show is all about, is talking about Chilton County and its roots and its history and the direction that we're heading in. So I appreciate you so much spending your time with us. We appreciate you spending your time with us. Join us again every Friday morning at 8:00 and reruns on Sunday afternoons at 5 for Peach Talk. This is our town.